Amen. Turn your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, please. 1 John chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 and 2, and also chapter 3, verse 10. So let's read those verses. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Chapter 3, verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, you're a great God and a good God and a loving God and a gracious, kind, merciful, long-suffering God. And we thank you for all your attributes. We thank you, Lord, that you are who you are, how you are, and what you are. And there's none like you. And so we come to you tonight and we thank you for taking us in as your children by your grace through faith in the finished work of Christ. We thank you for loving us. And Lord, we ask that you'd teach us tonight and challenge us. I pray you'd show us things from your word by your Holy Spirit as you open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of your people to receive your word. And I pray you'd reach out to those who may not have Christ as Savior, speak to their hearts as well, and save them by your grace. We ask your blessing. We give you all the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. John, in verse 2, clearly states that the word of life mentioned in verse 1 was manifested, and he saw it, and that the word of life in verse 1 is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ of verse 3. Now, we are, most of us, familiar with John chapter 1, where John carefully lays out the Godhead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just go there for a quick review. If you'd like to go there with me, we're in John. We're going to go to John chapter 1, those famous verses that begin that chapter, where John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Now go to verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So in John chapter 1, in verses 1 through 4, in verse 14, he's describing the same thing in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. He starts out John chapter 1 with the deity of Christ, and he starts out 1 John chapter 1 with the deity of Christ. What I want to look tonight is this word we find in this passage, the word in verse 2, manifested. Look what he says here, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." The word manifested here in the Greek is phanerao. It means to render apparent. It means to show. It means to appear. Now, if you go to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it says that the word manifested means readily perceived by the senses, especially by the sense of sight. The word, the invisible God, according to 1 Timothy 1:17 and Colossians 1:15, the invisible God became visible for mankind to see and became physical for mankind to touch. The God who existed for all eternity past as the invisible God, at a point in human history, made himself visible for us to see and made himself physical for us to touch as a human being. That is incredible. Now, he didn't have to do that. But he did it. Why? Because he loved us. And that is why John takes the pains to point out that he and the other disciples saw the Word of Life and touched the Word of Life and heard the Word of Life, the Lord Jesus Christ, the invisible. He's saying, we saw the invisible God. We touched the invisible God. We heard the invisible God because he was here on planet Earth. How could they see the invisible God? How can you see what's invisible? Only by the invisible God rendering himself apparent or causing himself to appear and to be shown to men by the incarnation, by becoming flesh and dwelling among us. It's the only way that physical human beings could see him. It's the only way we could touch him. He had to come, become one of us. Now, how do we see the Lord Jesus Christ today? We see him by faith. You know, Jesus said a couple of things that I find intriguing. In John chapter 6 and verse 36, here's what Jesus said. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Then in John 20, 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have yet believed. So we see three groups of people who have seen Jesus. The first group are those who saw him in his incarnation and did not believe on him. The second group are those people who saw him in his incarnation and believed on him, like Thomas. And the third group are those who have not seen him in his incarnation but believe on him by faith. And he says, those are the ones who are blessed. I mean, it must have been a great blessing to see Jesus, to hear his voice, to be in his presence. That must have been a blessing. But Jesus said, the ones who are really blessed are the ones who have not seen and yet believe. Wow, that's incredible. That's us. We see Jesus by faith, don't we? Now, I was thinking about this word manifest. And I thought I would look it up and see what it has to do with us because of what John wrote in chapter 3 of 1 John and verse 10. You remember that verse we just read? He said, in this, the children of God are manifest. And I wanted to look at that. Now, how do the children of God render themselves apparent to mankind? The children of God are manifest. We are made known. We are shown. We are made apparent. How does that happen? How do the children of God do that? Well, we learn that not only was God manifested to mankind in the flesh, but the miracles Jesus did were a manifestation of his glory, according to John chapter 2, verse 11. So because of what Jesus did, men could have and should have known who he was. When Jesus was doing the things that only God can do, they should have recognized and understood this must be God, because only God can do this. He manifested himself. He manifested his Godhood by the miracles that he did. They manifested his glory. In like manner, you and I, as born-again believers, as partakers of the divine nature and children of God, should have that which makes it apparent that we are the children of God. It should be apparent that we are born again. It should be apparent that we are partakers of the divine nature. That's what that word manifest means. In this are manifested the children of God. Let me give you a short list from the New Testament that reveals how we are to make it apparent, or that we are the manifestation. Let me look, number one, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to look with me at verse 1. Paul's writing to the Corinthians, he says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Here's what he says in verse 2. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Paul writes to the Corinthian believers, and he was telling them that they were those who made his ministry among them apparent that it was of God. He's saying, you Corinthians, how do people know, Paul's saying, that my ministry was of God? Because of you. You manifest. You make apparent. You are the visible proof that the ministry I had among you was of God, because you are epistles read of all men. The fact that God had written his word in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. Such writing that was to be read of all men by the new creatures they became in Christ and the newness of life they lived by his Spirit. That's what men were reading. When they looked at those lives of the Corinthians, they said they could read the work of God in their life. They could read the moving of the Spirit in their life. They were like a book. Some people never read the Bible, but they read you. I wonder what you would be considered. I wonder if you'd be considered fake news. What would that mean? Well, that means those who know you don't read the reality of Christ in your life. You say you're a Christian. You say you love the Lord. But if people can't read Jesus in your life, you're just fake news. Is your life a fiction novel? Or is it a biography of the power of God at work in the life of a sinner saved by grace? That's what Paul said they were reading over there in Corinth. And he said, you know what they're reading? They're reading the work of God in your life. We are manifestly the epistles of Christ. He's written his word in our hearts. And men are reading Jesus in us. Number two, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You're right there, just turn a page. We are manifestations of the truth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Here the apostle is saying that we are the manifestation of the truth of what? Of the gospel. Because you're going to find that out in just a second. You and I are the closest thing to the Lord Jesus that some may ever come in contact with. We should be able to commend ourselves to every man's conscience. In other words, we should be able to say with Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. We should be manifesting the truth of the gospel. We should be making the truth of the gospel apparent. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that you should make that apparent. That should be made apparent to those around you that you have trusted Jesus Christ and that you're saved. Paul said that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it was the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, does your life and mine make that truth apparent? It's the power of God unto salvation. Do people read that in our lives? Do they see that? Are we manifesting that? Are we making it apparent that we have the power of God within us? 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Are you making that apparent? Is that apparent to everybody around you? And is that apparent to your coworkers? Is that apparent to your family? Is that apparent to the kids at school? Is that apparent to your neighbors that, hey, you're a new creature. You're different. And you manifest that. You show that. It appears. We're manifestations of the truth. He goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 to tell us that if we are not making the truth of the power of the gospel apparent to those around us, that they are doomed. Look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, how is the gospel hid? It's not saying here that the devil hides the gospel from the lost. That's not what it's saying. It says he blinds their minds. He can't hide the gospel, but he can blind the minds of the lost so that they don't see the gospel. The gospel being hid is being hid by us because we're not manifesting the power of the gospel. You understand? We are putting our light under a bushel. So if our gospel is hid, if we are putting our light under a bushel, it's hid to the lost. You see? They can't see it. We're supposed to be manifesting it. But we're not. We're hiding it under a bushel. So it's hid to them. Now, if we take the bushel off and we manifest the light, then the devil blinds their minds. But we're just helping him out if we don't manifest the truth of the gospel to those around us. Number three, not only are we manifestations of the truth, but if you go on chapter 4, we're already there, verses 8 through 11, we are the manifestation of the life of Jesus. Look what it says. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul's saying, I'm going through all this stuff so Jesus can show himself through me. You see, our sufferings and troubles and trials in life are to be opportunities to make apparent to all around us that Christ lives in us. If we go through life and the sufferings and troubles and trials and problems like everybody else in the world, what are we manifesting? Nothing. There's no life of Jesus if we go through things just like everybody else in the world. We're supposed to manifest the life of Christ. How do we manifest the life of Christ? In times of struggle and turmoil. When we have the life of Christ in us, we will manifest that kind of life, that quality of life, the power of the life that Jesus demonstrated when he was here. In all of his sufferings and agony, never once did he bring shame to the Heavenly Father. Never once did he seek his own before that of the Father. Never once did he hesitate on his way to the cross. When they believed him not, he kept on going. When they mocked him, he kept on going. When they arrested him, he kept on going. When they beat him, he kept on going. When they nailed him to the cross, he kept on going and prayed for those who nailed him there. He kept on going for you. He kept on going for me. That's the life of Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus wants to make known to the world around us that hard times and sparse times and troublesome times and experiences and circumstances and situations and oppositions and persecutions and tribulations do not need to keep us from going on and living life with a different purpose and a different power. His power. We're supposed to show, we're supposed to make apparent the life of Jesus in us. How? In our flesh, in these human bodies. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. Right? Isn't that what it says? I can do all things? That's what the world says. That's power of positive thinking. Right? The power of positive thinking. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. You can't do it. But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's the life of Christ being manifested in our flesh. When we're able to do all things, not because we roll up our sleeves, not because we have such a character, but because Christ is in me. And He strengthens me, and He holds me up, and He keeps me going, and He empowers me. People can't see when we quote the Bible. They can only see when we live it. You know, we're good at quoting it. But people can't see words. So you can quote your, you can quote and quote and quote, but they can't see. But what can they see? They can see you living it. We're supposed to be manifestations of the life of Christ. Number four, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just turn to your left a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, number 4, we are the manifestations of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Look what it says. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The manifestation of the Spirit, that means that it's apparent that the Spirit of God is working in you and that you have the Spirit of God. What is the manifestation of the Spirit? Well, in verse 4 it says, now there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation, this word manifestation is talking about the gifts. The manifestation of the Spirit, the making apparent of the Spirit. People can't see the Holy Spirit, but they can only see what He is making apparent through you. Every one of us who are saved have a gift or gifts of the Spirit. And that's how the Holy Spirit manifests Himself to others, is through the gifts that He has given us. Each gift is given, according to Ephesians chapter 4, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. We make the Holy Spirit's presence in us apparent when we allow Him to work through us. When we allow Him to produce in us something we couldn't produce ourselves. That's the manifestation of the Spirit. When we use a spiritual gift that God has given us that we didn't have before we were saved, that's the making apparent the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. When we manifest the fruit of the Spirit in our life, that's showing forth the work of the Holy Spirit in us. When we have the fruit of the Spirit, when we're filled with the Spirit and have that fruit, it shows to people around us the work of the Spirit. The presence of the Spirit. Isn't that exciting? Well, how do I know you have the Spirit of God? When you see the fruit of the Spirit in me. When you see me exercising the gifts of the Spirit that He's given me. That's how. We are a manifestation of the Spirit. We exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and our dealings with others. You know, you need to look up the fruit of the Spirit. You need to see if it's in your life. You need to see if you're manifesting it to those around you in your dealings with others. Especially that one long suffering. There's one. We are a manifestation of the Spirit when we witness for Christ. For His power is given for just that purpose, according to Acts 1:8, and ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall with this power. With this power that comes upon you, you shall be witnesses of me. See? I mean, today everybody thinks the power of the Holy Spirit's for all kinds of silly, crazy, wild stuff. It's not. Read your Bible. The power of the Holy Spirit is primarily for witnessing. That's a manifestation of the Spirit when we witness for Christ. Did you ever witness for Christ before you had the Spirit of God? No. God wants the invisible God inside to be known on the outside by manifesting himself through us to those on the outside. You understand? And so, we are manifestations of the truth. We are manifestations of the life of Jesus. We are the manifestations of the Spirit. Number 5, Titus chapter 1. Number 5, we are a manifestation of the Word of God. Titus chapter 1, look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in these due times manifested his word, how? Through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now listen. I should say we are the manifestations of the power of the Word of God. We are manifestations of the power of the Word of God. Our lives are to be the visible evidence of the power of the Word of God. When we speak words, they cannot be seen. But the power of the Word can be seen as it affects the life of the believer. What makes the power of the Word of God so apparent is its effects when it's presented in so weak a manner. I'll say that again. What makes the power of the Word of God so apparent? Its effect when presented in so weak a manner. What is the weak of manner that God presents His Word? Preaching. Listen, I don't know why God chose preaching. But he's put a treasure in earthen vessels, weak human beings like me and you. And God says he's going to manifest his word, going to make his word, the power of his word apparent through preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Apostle Paul said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it is the what? Power of God." I want to say this. Preaching seemed foolish to me until it saved me. Right? I didn't even know what preaching was before I was saved. I went to church and I thought eeny, meeny, miny, moe was preaching. I thought, that was preaching. That wasn't preaching. I thought a guy getting up and read a message he just downloaded from the internet was preaching. That's not preaching. I didn't know what preaching was until it saved me. It was foolishness to me until it saved me. Then all of a sudden it became the power of God. What is preaching? It's the power of God's word to change us. Isn't that incredible? You say, "Preacher, how did you get changed when you got saved?" By the preaching of the Word of God. Went and sat under some preaching. It's crazy, really, if you think about it. But it's of God. It's the power of God. That some guy can take this book, the Word of God, and preach it to people, and it changes their lives. It's not him. He's just a weak vessel of clay. It's the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, Paul wrote, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." The foolishness of preaching. You know what I'm doing here tonight? I'm doing a bunch of foolishness. but it's the foolishness of God. And the Bible says the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of men. There's no other orator or commentator that can affect the salvation of a soul but a preacher. I mean, people can get up who have the great give a great natural talent of oration, and they can speak on with great eloquent words and flowing speeches, but that won't save a soul. People can get up in Congress and filibuster. That doesn't save souls. You know what saves souls? Preaching. Preaching the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" It didn't say, how shall they hear without a congressman? How shall they hear without a senator? How shall they hear without a president? How shall they hear without? No, how shall they hear without a preacher? Why? Because God said that he manifests his word through preaching. God takes the word and makes it apparent to Christians through the preaching of it. Have you ever, I hope this has happened at least once since you've been coming to Grace of Calvary. Have you ever come to a service and you went, oh, that's what that means. Oh, I never saw that before. Oh, now I get it. You know what that is? That's God manifesting the word. Amen. Through preaching. He's making it apparent. I think it's exciting myself. God has designed that preaching would save the lost and change the saved. When a person hears preaching and does not allow it to do its work in their hearts and minds, they are quenching the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, and resisting the Spirit, which in turn keeps them from manifesting the power of the preaching of the Word of God in their life. God wants to manifest the power of his word. How? In your life. That's how important it is for every believer to hear the preaching of the word and become a practitioner of that which is preached. Because it shows the power of God's word working in your life. You can tell your neighbors how powerful the word of God is, but if they don't see it working in your life, they don't see no power. You can tell them how true the Bible is, but if they don't see his truth operating in your life, they don't see no truth. You're the manifestation. Isn't that all exciting? Of all the things God chose to reach a world, he chose to manifest these things through us. I mean, wow. And then lastly, number 6, go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. The Apostle Paul says, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Isn't that exciting? Listen, friend, whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing, it's not even worthy to be compared with the glory. The glory is going to be so much greater that all of our suffering, all put together, all of our sufferings put together are nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's pretty exciting. But then he says in verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Now I understand the context that this verse is in. I understand the primary interpretation of this verse because of the surrounding chapter. Paul is speaking of the eventual and unmistakable manifestation of the sons of God. And John wrote about it in 1 John 3:2. He said this, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So the Bible says there's coming this day when it will be absolutely, totally, unmistakably apparent that we're the children of God. Why? Because we'll be like him. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Huh? In the twinkling of an eye. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to be changed, folks. And we won't have to, I won't have to say, I wonder if he's saved. It'll be like, ooh. You won't have to ask. However, I want to make an application of Romans chapter 8, verse 19, and it is this. Look what it says. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The application is this. Those creatures around us, human beings created by the Creator God, are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting for us to show ourselves to be the real deal and the genuine article. This world desperately needs help. And this world desperately needs hope. And this world desperately needs to see the real Christianity of the power of God at work in a person's life and his heart and his mind. They don't need to see all this folderol that's going on and all this foolishness that's tramping all across America. They need to see the genuine power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the Son of God manifesting itself in the lives of sinners saved by grace. They need us to manifest ourselves in the midst by our lives, by our lips, by our faith, and by our Christian character. The world around us wants it to be apparent what a Christian should be, not just in high-sounding rhetoric and spiritual pontifications, but in the real nitty-gritty of life. That's where we manifest that we are the children of God. Not in here, out there. That's when a manifestation takes place. Amen? How do I know that your words are not just empty platitudes and memorized catechisms? When I see their reality manifested before my eyes. What did the word manifest mean? To become apparent to the senses, especially the sense of sight. People need to see, don't they? They need to see. That's what manifestation means. They need to see the Word of God at work in your life. They need to see the manifestations of the Spirit in your life. They need to see the life of Jesus being worked out in your life. They need to see the power of preaching and its effect in your life. They need to see it. God didn't just speak from heaven so we could hear him. He came and manifested himself by making himself able to be seen. And his humanity to be experienced by those who not only heard him, but touched him and watched him. God said, you want to know I'm real? Here I am. Hear me, see me, handle me. That's what the world needs to see with us. We need to say, you want to know God's real? Pay attention. Follow me as I follow Christ. You want to know God's real? Look what he's doing in my life. You want to know he's real? Look what he's doing through me. A sinner saved by grace. Let's bow for a word of prayer. You're here tonight as a Christian. What are you manifesting? How much of Jesus do men see in you? How much of Jesus do men hear from you? And how much of Jesus do men experience when they're with you? What are you making apparent to all by your life? The power of Christ, the power of his word, the power of the gospel? Or instead of making him apparent, maybe you're just making you apparent. In John 12:21, there were some people that came to Philip. And it says, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. They didn't need to see Philip. They needed to see Jesus. People around us don't need to see you. They don't need to see me. They need to see Jesus in us, manifesting these things through us. But I'm afraid too many of us have drawn the curtains of ourself. And instead of seeing Jesus, they see us. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're watching or listening. As Christians, we are to manifest the unseen things of God to the world of lost souls. I want you to please forgive us if we've done a poor job. But please hear this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He loves you as much as he's loved anybody. He cares about your soul as much as he's cared about anybody's soul. He died for you, and he shed his blood to pay for your sins, and he rose again from the dead so that you could have the gift of eternal life that only he can give. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And there's no one in all the universe that can give you the gift of eternal life except Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way. There's no other person. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My dear friend, you need to call on the name of Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and save your soul. Trust him as your Savior before it's eternally too late. Maybe there's someone in this auditorium tonight that say, you know what? I've heard it all, but I've never really trusted him. I need to trust Christ tonight before it's too late. Anybody like that here? Just raise your hand. Just say, I'm here. I'm in the auditorium. I don't believe I'm saved. I do not know for sure I'm going to heaven. But preacher, if you'd pray for me, I'd like to have that assurance. Pray that God will help me. Anybody like that here tonight? And Father, I thank you for a building full of Christians. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for being willing to manifest these things through us. Make all these things of God apparent to the world around us, through us, by us. Something that was never possible before we were saved. I pray we'd take it to heart. I pray we'd pay attention to it. I pray we'd think about it. And I pray we'd just surrender ourselves to you and say, Lord, manifest whatever you want, however you want, whenever you want, through me. I just want to be a signpost for Jesus. Help us now in the invitation. If there is someone here that needs to be saved, give them courage to come, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 562. Just as I am. Just as I am, I come. It's the only way you can come. Just as you are. And that's how God accepts you, as you are. But you know what? When God accepts you as you are, he doesn't want to leave you the way you are. Isn't that awesome? He wants to make you something better and do something with you. And maybe tonight you need to come and say, Lord, here am I. Just like old Isaiah. Or maybe you need to be saved. If you have questions about salvation, come and see me right here. I'll help you with it as we sing on the first. Just